Well, thank you very much for inviting me here to speak to you all. I think it's been a really interesting session so far. Just a little bit about Capture. We've been creating digital asset management, business and e-commerce solutions for many, many people in our industry, ranging from some of the top cultural institutions and commercial agencies through across to many of the other guys, the smaller guys. And so we've got a great deal of experience in doing that. We're a team of 32 and a very knowledgeable team. I think we've got something like 250 years of aggregated industry experience between us. So I'm probably the least qualified to speak here. Now I have many other people behind me back at base who are probably much more expert than me. However, it didn't all start like that because my beginnings are like many other people here. I started my professional life as a journalist and a photographer, and I travelled all over the world doing assignments, and eventually one day I really felt I couldn't do that anymore, so I started to take other people's work in. And from then on I needed a system. So, and really what I was looking at was I was thinking about managing metadata already, so that's sort of way back in the 1990s. And I couldn't really find what I wanted out there, so my solution was to write an enormous system to run my own agency, and really that was like a big metadata engine back then. Then a lot of people in the industry liked what they saw and all these automated metadata-driven reminders spilling out then over fax machines, and they thought they'd like a system like it. So in 2000, we became a technology company. So I'm a creative turned technologist. One of the really interesting things for me, and I think one of the things that's quite unique about Capture, is that under one roof we have the whole sort of range of humanity and their various skills. So we have the total techies on the one side who really don't go out much, and they like to sit in a darkened room and don't communicate all that well with the people at the other end of the spectrum who are complete creatives. Because we're not just a tech company, we're a services company as well, which means that sometimes we give people a system and then we actually run it for them with our team of creatives, who then actually use the software and run into all the frustrations that obviously, or not, that our clients use. So at our morning, every morning we have a team meeting breakfast, and everyone's there from the whole company. And I'm a hybrid. I've always been in the middle, half creative, half technologist, and I can hear my tech manager say something which I understand perfectly and sounds really promising, like some amazing new piece of technology we've just developed is actually ready. And I then hear something, I know that it means it's not ready, but the people on the creative end hear something entirely different. And I think that in some ways this ability to communicate between people with creative skills and people with technical skills is really in some ways at the heart of what we're all talking about at the moment. So my personal mission is to help that translation between these two sets of people, because I think that there's a great deal that can be done. So anyway, so just moving on with the presentation, which is about, as you can see, image metadata for licensing workflows. So what does licensing mean? Because it means different things to different people in my world. Because one of the things that we had to do with Capture, because we then started creating technology for you and for people handling digital assets, throughout the whole of the food chain, it means different things to different people, and therefore we have to handle it in different ways. So for some people it's about getting paid. Other people don't mind whether they get paid. It's more about recognition. And for the consumers of your assets or your images, it's often about knowing that their images are safe to use. And we're talking here about, you know, for instance, publishers. But at base, it's really all about permissions and digital ownership. So just thinking about the rights food chain, we're immensely privileged as a company to really be dealing with every part of that food chain. Right from creators and copyright owners actually creating their content through then to agents and libraries and distributors and individual researchers. We have products for media research tools for individual products. And then right through to the customers who are actually using your products. And so we see all the worries and angst that each sort of level of those people go through. Metadata is always the key. So creators and copyright owners, they're really anxious about what rights can they allow, how can they track them, and how can they get paid. Agents, libraries, and distributors, they're also anxious about what rights to allow and how to represent their creators in the best way. And they also really want to know how to track usages, and then how do they pay them, and how do they pay them out. Meanwhile, you've got individual researchers who may be working for publishing companies, and they're not out to steal anything, but they're probably under pressure to do a job, to fill the brief of a book. They're whizzing around the internet. They see something, oh, that's a nice image, bang, and it goes into the brief. And then, sure enough, the publishers a bit later, they're very, very keen on using Capture because it does allow them to know what they have, and how they can use it correctly, and how they can repurpose content correctly as well. So that those are all slightly different takes on the sort of the licensing metadata side of things. So royalties, recognition, and safety of use are really always the goal, but it's not always straightforward. For instance, creators and copyright owners, there may be multiple creators involved in one, in actually the ownership of one image. I'm sharing this with you as a technologist because these are all some of the challenges that we have to overcome in order to make sure that the right pieces of information get stuck to the right assets and the right bits of money go to the right people. And then, of course, you've got agents and libraries and distributors who have increasingly complex needs. We have a very powerful royalty engine, and they, for instance, they obviously want to take a cut, but that cut might depend on what collection an image is in. It might depend on who the contributor is, or what the license type is, or even the usage type, or whether it's split between multiple parties. And also, sometimes, who introduced that particular contributor, because that introducer might get a reward. And also, whether there's any costs that might need to be deducted. So all these things have to be taken into account in the licensing workflow. And meanwhile, we're back to the publishers who are thinking, well, where the hell did that image come from? I can't trace it anywhere on the internet. So how do we put all this into practice? Well, I believe that as tech providers, we have to take the hit on this, and we have to make it easy for people and free if possible. And so I believe we're involved in this technological world. We've kind of created the mess that we're in, and we've got to really help us all see a way through it, because there are great opportunities out there, there's no doubt. So as a company, we're really aiming to democratize that process so there's a lower barrier for participation for creators and consumers, customers and consumers actually. So the smaller guys can take part using technology that will really help them protect their images at a much lower price and barrier to entry. And the goal really always has to be frictionless automated licensing. So the transaction cost in the end becomes negligible. We all know prices have gone down, so let's make our production prices go down as well. So a brief tour around types of asset metadata. So you have to sort of keep me on track about time, okay? Oh my God. Okay, I'll speed up. Okay, so there's lots of different types of asset metadata. I just named a few here. So there's internal asset identifiers, which are generated, as we know, in various different ways by cameras, contributors, agencies, client-generated, distributor-generated, system-generated. So lots of internal IDs, if you like, strap things together. And then in the outside world, there's global asset identifiers, GUIDs, global identifiers, which then help strap those individual systems together so that things can be found out there on the World Wide Web. Then there's things like knowledge metadata that only a photographer or an expert can know when looking at a picture. And then there's also visual metadata, which is quite clear what it is from looking at the picture. And then there's structured metadata, which is driven from controlled vocabularies, and unstructured metadata, which is basically free text. Just on controlled vocabularies, that doesn't have to be anything enormously complicated. We obviously handle multiple hierarchical controlled vocabularies from which you can do some marvelous things regarding automating stuff, but actually it could just be a simple checkbox list which makes maybe your photographers apply things correctly and well spelt. And actually, you can do quite a lot with unstructured metadata as well. If you have a smart search engine, it then actually is able to search across any kind of field. So you have embedded metadata, embedded in the asset. We've talked a lot about that. You also often have accompanying metadata. You also have related asset metadata, where you might have a separate online database, but it's linked to the asset embedded by a global unique identifier. And this is where actually PLUS comes into its own, really, because that if you do have a system like that, it means that actually most of the metadata is dynamic and can be updated. Whereas if you embed everything in an image and then that image is out there in the wild, then things may change relating to it. And obviously it's stuck within that image. But with PLUS, it would resolve back through a global identifier, which makes it a great format for a registry. There's also invisible watermarking, and also things like EXIF. And we talked about embedding this morning as well, so I'm not going to go into that again, but that's obviously another way of serving up images and related metadata, and also knowing where they've gone. So really there's asset metadata, which we've talked a lot about, but if what I'm talking about here is the whole licensing workflow. And it all comes from the asset metadata originally, but following on from that, there has to be a whole load of business metadata which is really attached to that. And that's all really about the asset earning its keep in some kind of way. So if you think about it, there's the parties involved in licensing. So that could be the people or the organizations that own an asset. Perhaps agents have got rights to sell that asset. So there's a whole number of parties that might have some kind of right over that asset. And so then there has to be a whole piece about sort of managing and controlling those rights. And then obviously there's the actual licenses, you know, how you display them, how you convey that to the customer, how you record that in your back office, how you track whether it's been paid, when it's due to be paid, and when in fact the royalties are due to be shared and paid out to your contributors. So the role of identifiers, system and global, they really are behind what's enabling sort of frictionless and automated licensing. And I think, you know, we've had many discussions this morning, but it's got to be a combination of things, really. And identifiers at the moment are really the best way of keeping track of this sort of thing, along with registries. So Sarah wanted me to just point out how this applies to our capture products. I'm just going to go through this extremely quickly. This really represents all of our products. Each box there is a product that Capture produces, like a building block. So some people use one of the building blocks, other people use them all. Some people swap them around and we add APIs to bolt into other workflows or other pieces of technology that they have. But essentially, it is a complete metadata engine from the get-go. So we have a pre-flight tool which helps check the quality of contributors' metadata. We then have an increasingly powerful submissions module, which again, it's all about metadata, and it's all about making sure the contributors have applied the right metadata, spelt it correctly, that they've attached the right model releases or property releases, and that it's all really ready for an editor, so the editor then doesn't waste their time on stuff that's not properly prepped. Then we have our big media manager system, which is really the core of the whole system. It's immensely powerful. And for instance, when we built Capture, a lot of people were saying, well, what schema will you use? And my answer to that was, well, we're going to build a system that can really relate to any schema. And that is what we did. So it was big in the building, but very flexible now in the running, in that we can have any kind of mapping into any kind of way. Because I'm building it for you guys, and you may have many different requirements, and I don't want to have to go back to my developers to ask them to do a lot of work. So obviously it handles multiple mappings, XMP, IPTC, all those different sorts of formats. Right. Okay. We've also just made a piece of tech free in order to encourage best practices, and that is a piece of software called Capture Vault. Which is at the heart of our media manager system, and it does things like register tech with the Copyright Hub, and which means that it's really sort of best practice in terms of asset security. And we'll be adding other image security or image registration features to that including things like PicScout, Image Protect, or any kind of asset protection service. We are committed to add to that for free. I can't say whether the service that will be provided will be by a particular partner will be for free, but that does enable some of the smaller players to get going straight away, and it means anybody running a capture system at the moment has access to this particular piece of technology. Whizzing through that, we then go through a whole keywording piece with where we can auto-enrich the metadata and make it very flexible for distributing, making sure that agents then get metadata in the right place so they can then help keep track of things. Then on the front-end part of the system, all that metadata follows through, ties in with permissions and rights, who can see what and who can license what. And then that again comes back into our contact relationship manager, our CRM, where it's all really pulled together with the people involved, or the parties involved, linking up with the assets that have been bought and attaching them to the licenses in the financials area, and then, hooray, the royalties that finally get paid out to photographers. And then really most importantly, there is a reports engine that really helps people analyze all the metadata throughout the whole system and work out what's doing well, what's not doing well, and really what to concentrate on. It's really like a cycle. And then we have a final piece in the puzzle, which is our buyer's tool, Capture Desk in orange at the top there, which is a research tool to help your clients. So people doing research, it's to help them do it safely, and there's a piece of tech in there that actually helps it resolve back to the copyright hub and then it back to their original system. So the points where we actually integrate with registries are in Capture Vault, as I've mentioned, and that's free. In our media buyers tool, Capture Desk. So this means that when researchers are out there and they found an image that's been used by perhaps a junior researcher in a project and the manager there is trying to find where it came from, This tool then allows people to check whether there's a hub key or a plus registration ID and any other asset services, cutting their time back a great deal. And also that means then that we can resolve that back to the website from whence it came. Obviously, if it's a Capture website, that's easy, but others as well with APIs resolves back to the basket and the download. So I think I'm being asked to stop there. I could go on longer, obviously, but I think that sort of covered a lot of the main points. I am a great believer in standards. I do really think that embracing things like the PLUS Registry is a great way forward. I think IPTC has been brilliant. I think we've all taken it for granted often over the years, but it's been a cornerstone of what we've done for many, many years. And I think it really, the solution really in the end lies in all of us working together, techies and creatives actually talking, doing the best we can now to protect things when they leave your ownership, doing absolutely the best, embedding, whatever information you can in it, educating people about copyright. I mean, I think the Copyright Hub in the UK is doing an excellent job on that as well, but it's really sort of raising that. And then also technical solutions, because there are some really interesting ones out there. Like Pixel Rights was mentioned earlier. I think Jean talked a little bit about them, but they're also a way of, you can't rip an image off by right-clicking with Pixel Rights. You can if you really try hard, and we've looked at that, but you have to try really hard. So it's a very useful piece of tech, and we will be integrating that with Capture. So, for me as a technologist, then we've got to do everything we can for our clients, including embrace any kind of new technology like that and build it into what we do, because I would like to make your lives all easier. So thank you.
Thank you, Abby.